We have an amazing guest to finish up with our fireside chats for the 2018 version of Blacks in Gaming Fireside Chats. This gentleman on stage with me right now is an amazing writer, super accomplished, has worked on, now I have to go back to my phone, okay. Notes. Senior writer, Hangar 13, worked on Mafia 3, also worked on games like Halo 4, Halo Reach, Nat Geo Connect, Nike Plus Connect Fitness, and also was nominated for a BAFTA for narrative and took home the narrative prize for the New York Games Critic Award Circle. New York Game Critics Circle. Now I know how to see your words. Thank you, Charles Webb. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right. Somebody has been in my LinkedIn.
Yes. Yes, I have. Copy-paste is dope.
It is a pleasure to be here and just to follow the wonderful folks who come before me and to hear just these different voices talking about being Blacks in gaming and these different perspectives and different spaces. I don't know. I feel good.
Yeah, these are like the heartwarming parts of doing this kind of work, right? It's like you get to be in family company, you get to be able to talk about things that matter to you, and you also get to gloat a little bit about yourself when you do that kind of work, and you do fantastic stuff. If folks are not familiar with your work and how you've gotten to this space, do you want to share a little bit about your background and when you started to get into the writing biz in games?
Sure. Next year, will it be next year? Yeah, next year will be 14 years. Sorry, 2020 will be 15 years that I've been in the game industry.
That's fantastic.
Got my first game writing job at a teeny tiny mobile studio in New York. And just, I've kept doing it since then. I've woven in and out of the industry, writing about games and comics and writing for games and writing for comics. And about 4 years ago, Hangar 13 Games took a chance on me. And I don't know, I've been on this journey of telling Lincoln Clay's story and being part of this wonderful team. I'm emotional.
I mean, one of the things that I love about your work has been, and I'm mostly familiar with it through Mafia 3, was that I felt like you and the rest of that team were able to pull off the kind of quintessential Black story, like Black experience story within a game that I'd ever actually had a chance to play through. And that was something that I took with me way after and felt way after I finished the game. When you were thinking about getting into the gaming industry and starting to like, I'm going to be a writer in this space, was that a goal? Was that a thing that you wanted to be able to do? Was that a thing that you were like, at some point, I want to be able to write a really dope Black story that will be able to be told and shared across?
I will be honest. When I first started in the game industry, I just didn't want to work at Blockbuster anymore. So that's a very old thing that I just said there. But it was also being in all these spaces over the years of both small studios and larger studios and seeing kind of the demographic makeup of the studios and the kind of games that were coming out of those studios and saying, well, there aren't really a lot of POC in these games. There aren't really a lot of women who aren't just off to the side kind of barking stuff at the main character in these games, and it would be kind of rad to do something like that. And I really I have to credit my lead writer Bill Harms and the other
shout out
writer,
to Bill
Fowler.
And his crew. Yeah, yeah, they're fantastic.
A lot of Mafia 3's story had shaped up to kind of be where I needed to be by the time I came on the team, and I got to support that. And that's just, I think, a point of pride that our team should have that. They were willing to ask those questions, and they were willing to use a diverse team to ask questions about, you know, what kind of environment can we create with a Black character that's interesting, that's provocative, that's not just, you know, informed by Black tragedy.
Yeah.
It's you know, almost accidentally like a Black liberation game, and it's mean when it needs to be, and it's violent when it needs to be, and it's putting you in the shoes of a complicated badass hero, and that's not a thing that you get often with Black protagonists in games.
Yeah. One of the things I'm always curious about, and this is the thing that when I knew that you were going to be a part of this panel, one of the things that I always wanted to try to figure out is get inside your brain a little bit and hear about, did you all do a post-mort on the game at all? Did you all like get back together and you're like, all right, the game is out. We finished the project that we wanted to make. Here is some of the reception that it got. And now we get to kind of break bread and talk about, you know, what just happened. Was that a part of the creative process for you in the way that you've written in previous games as well?
It really hasn't been in previous games. In this case, there was some discussion after the fact, but it's not stuff that I'm free to share right at the time. But after any project, there's always that period of time where you just want to talk about what you learned, talk about how people are responding to things, taking some time away from the internet because people are going to say things in very, very strong polar opposites, and you want to kind of see what's going on in the middle, you know. Typically, when a game comes out, you know the things that you did really, really well.
Yeah.
You know the things you screwed up. And it's kind of figuring out how you can change those things going forward and how you can build on those things going forward.
Yeah.
And that's just something I kind of, in any creative endeavor that you have, it's great to take that time to reflect after the fact and say, I did this really, really well, and I'm really proud of this. Also, I can improve this.
Yeah, yeah. For folks who are trying to get into the industry on the writing side of the aisle, what are some things that you have picked up over the years that have helped you, especially doing this kind of work, where you have to mix and mash a lot of different components together, where you have the narrative team, which is doing their work, you have the gameplay team that's doing their work, and then you have, you know, other folks who are doing like systems and all these other things. How do you feel like those things, learning those tricks of the trade, has made you a better writer? And what would be some advice to folks you'd have for those who are trying to get into the industry in that space?
I think starting with the advice piece,
Yeah. It's
figuring out how to be flexible with your ego,
which
is a weird thing to say. To a certain point, you're going to be working with people whose expertise is, like you said, game design.
Yeah.
And they're going to know how to frame that moment better than you can from those emotional reactions from gameplay. On the opposite side of it, you are going to know the best way to tell the story in that moment. Mm. And you're going to have to fight that fight. And you're going to have to be able to pick your battles. And you're working alongside a team, so you're going to want to be able to keep and maintain allies. It's not about you just swinging in there and saying, this is my story, and it's great. And you guys have to... No, because people are coming to play this, you know, 8-hour, 20-hour, 50-hour game because they want to play it. And they want to be able to talk about the moments from that experience. And after a certain point, you kind of have to step back and let the story be important, but not the most important thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just in terms of things that I've learned, it's kind of just in that line. It's being really as collaborative as you can possibly be.
Yeah.
It's asking questions of people with other expertise. It's leaving yourself open and saying, hey, I'm not quite sure what the best thing is here. Let's figure it out. Let's all get in a room and kind of figure that out. And,
yeah.
I would say to anyone who's working narrative in games right now, who has aspirations to work narrative in games, always get in a room with the people that you're working with. Don't just figure that you're going to be able to create the story by yourself. There's a lot of times you're going to want to just sit down and try to craft out things and let the team feel like they have input in what they're doing. I mean, at the end of the day, you're going to own the story, but as a team, you're going to own that game. You're going to own that overall experience and try to make that as collaborative as possible.
Yeah. With the rise of the Black Panther, ha ha ha, with that being something that is taking over in lots of spaces, we now see folks who are trying to not capitalize on just the success of that, but now we see that folks are hoping to be able to now see that this is a medium and this is a thing that is going to both get recognition, it's going to get funding, it's going to get eyes on it and have people really excited about possibly telling stories that involve Black people. Do you feel like that's happening in the movie space? Do you feel like that's going to translate over to the game space at all?
I hope beyond all hope that it will.
Yeah.
But the most cynical, cold part of my heart is like, you know, you're talking about people reacting to a thing that's happening now 2, 3, 4 years from now.
Right.
The game that comes out. And people get cold feet. This moment may change between now and then.
Yeah.
We're going to get the next Black Panther, and we're going to get, like, the really crappy, you know, fourth or fifth tier character.
Beige Tabby.
Yeah.
Coming through.
Yeah. And between now and then, like, this moment may pass.
Yeah.
It's like that period where we had, like, all those, like, rad-ass Black-centric movies, like Boomerang.
Yeah.
And then towards the tail end, we got Money Talks.
Yeah.
And Blank Man.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Like, it went bad.
Wow.
Because there was just, there was such a need to pump out content.
Yeah.
But there was no eye for quality. So then the thinking becomes, well, no one really wants this stuff. It's like, no, you just released a bunch of garbage.
Yeah.
So I'm hopeful.
It's interesting that you brought that up. First of all, Blank Man, oh my God, Blank Man.
I made friends go see that on my birthday.
Oh, that's mean.
Or around my birthday. I think that's when it came out. Yeah.
That's just mean. The conversation around diversity is one that I always feel like we see other folks get to make content that is not that great, and it still gets love, and it still makes money, and all that stuff. And I feel like when we talk about diversity, it would be great when a Blank Man gets to make a whole bunch of money.
So it's always that discussion when looking specifically at like black women filmmakers.
Yeah.
You know, a woman gets one chance to fail.
Right.
So you look at Karen Kusama, like Jennifer's Body did not that well, and that's like a great little horror movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's kind of gained a reputation over the years, but it took something like 8-9 years for her to get her next movie, The Invitation.
Yeah.
And you see that with black filmmakers as well. And I started to kind of like jump back and forth between film and games.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
It's a very clear space where you see creators who are out there in the margins. They make a thing that's really, really successful, and everyone pounces on them and says, all right, you got to make the next thing. And that next thing doesn't hit as hard.
Right.
And so it's just assumed, well, we're done with you versus, I don't know. You know, there are some big name filmmakers who I'm not going to talk crap about right now who they just get chance and chance and chance and chance again because folks are comfortable working with them because
right.
they look like everyone in the room.
Right. I was going to say something, but I'm not because we're on camera. It's all good.
But you get the overall point, like, and
yeah.
it's kind of incumbent on us, like I feel like now I'm in a position now where my job is to try to identify other folks who could potentially join writing teams with me and
yeah.
say, hey, you don't look like the normal, you know, you're not a white dude.
Yeah.
Let's talk. Let's
yeah.
figure this out. Like, I don't know if you can necessarily work alongside me, but I want to try to do what I can to help you do the next thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's incumbent upon anyone who gets any sort of level of success to try to bring someone else up, to try to amplify their voices.
Yeah.
Like, Jordan Peele said something along the lines, like, when he won the Oscars, like,
yeah.
you guys amplified my voice. And that's like, that's our job. That's our
yeah.
responsibility.
Yeah. In terms of stories that we haven't seen yet, because I feel like that's a really interesting part, too. Like, there was this conversation, like, a couple years back when 12 Years a Slave dropped, and Black Twitter was like, this really interesting faction of folks were like, this is great. We want to continue to have really well formulated stories that are in this space that we kind of want to keep pushing forward. And then there was also like this other narrative was like, we don't want any more slave stories because slave stories are terrible. And we don't want this in the space. And it feels like now we have in games where it's like you can have Long Shot be a thing in the Madden franchise. And you can also then have on the other end, I would say it's on the other end of the spectrum, a Mafia 3 that's culturally relevant, politically involved, and smart in that way. And Long Shot was good for their first kind of shot at it. But what are the stories that you're kind of excited? Like, what are the stories that haven't been told yet that you're like, ooh, I would love for this to be in the space and get a game that's made from it?
I want to see Black Star Wars. I want to see Black Resident Evil.
Ooh, yeah.
Like, and not just Black, not just... I want to see other POC occupying those game spaces.
Yeah.
And that it's not necessarily just... And it's dealing with slavery or something. And
right,
the
right.
ghosts are all old slaves or whatever. No, I want to see, you know, just a mediocre black person thrown into a story.
Yeah.
I want to see black mediocrity in stories.
Yes.
Which is just my weird way of saying I want us to be yeah. able to just be in the center of an action story, and it's not necessarily through the lens of politics, which is always cool, but also let us just be able to be rad.
Yeah.
Let us just be badasses in spaces. And
I feel like the closest thing that we've gotten to that was maybe Watch Dogs 2.
Yeah,
where he wasn't extraordinary, mm-hmm. but it felt like he was well equipped enough.
He was the coolest character to occupy that space to do the thing that he needed to do.
Yeah.
And I think that was great.
Yeah.
And they did, you know, kind of touch on the struggle of being black in the Bay and
yeah.
kind of intersecting with tech and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which was also cool. But the centerpiece of the story is this is the right character to be telling this story with at this time. Like I retweeted somebody, I think it was today. They were saying that, like, you don't have to have a story about queer characters where you have to, like, craft it around their queerness.
Yeah.
Just let them be queer.
Yeah.
Let them be queer characters. And you don't have to craft stories around black characters to make the game a black game. You just let them be black.
Yeah.
Let them exist in that space.
Yeah. I've been a fan of, in my fan fiction mind, of where you have games that are already out and you swap those intangibles in there.
Yeah.
Like Life is Strange, but be set in the hood. Like, that would be a fantastic game. Like, stuff like that, I feel, is, like, super dope stuff that, like, you could do in those spaces.
In my head, the Master Chief's a black dude.
In my head, Master Chief is black, too.
Yeah.
He has a way better walk than most folks.
There you go.
And I feel like you have to have a good bop. I feel like you have a good bop if you walk in a big suit like that. Like, I would hate for Master Chief to give me dap, though. He'd probably break my hand.
Probably. He's 7 feet tall.
He's 7 feet tall. Yeah. Shaquille O'Neal. And... is Master Chief. I really don't want that to be a thing. We saw that Man of Steel comic. That was terrible. If you wanted to, I broke myself. When you think about the future of, besides the games that you want to see and the stories that you want to particularly tell, do you feel like the medium itself, since it's getting bigger, is then going to hopefully morph into folks in the game space who are doing really well, who are people of color? And then we talked about it a little bit earlier with Black Car Revoked, of that translating as well into other mediums and spaces. Do you feel like you could, and I wish this for you, is like to move from a space in games to where you're like, I'm making my own movie, or I'm doing that stuff. Do you feel like there are folks who are in those Venn diagrams who are looking at the game space now that is getting more prominence and it's getting more money and Fortnite is Fortnite, that those folks are looking at these spaces too to look for talent?
I mean, there are some game devs that, like, folks know about who've made that transition.
Yeah.
You know, like, they've gone from the game side to, like, writing screenplays or you know, and that's really, really cool. Right now, games is what I want to do.
Yeah.
I think I have a couple of films in me, I don't know, but right now this is my focus and this is my love. And I think Hollywood isn't going to be excited about game developers because mostly we're invisible.
Yeah.
But they are going to be excited about game IP. They are going to be excited about Lincoln Clay. They are going to be excited about the Master Chief because those are known commodities that you can make a big $100, $200 million movie around.
Yeah.
But the creators who are responsible for them, they're going to be a little less excited about it. And we see the same thing with comics as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Black Panther's a huge movie. No one cares about people who work on Black Panther comics.
Yeah, yeah. And it's weird, too, because, like, if you were to think about the like, easy analogs that you would see, because you always see movie tie-ins. Mm-hmm. That used to be a thing that was huge. It was like, oh, this movie was out, and then they had a game for it. Or, now the reverse, maybe, where you'll see, what thing would work in that space? So it's like, I don't know if I want a Luke Cage game. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if that's a thing that I actually want, right?
I kind of would.
Yeah?
Yeah.
As long as they get Harlan right, because they botched it in the damn show. That's a whole nother story.
I have Luke Cage thoughts we should talk about offline.
Yes, we need to talk about that.
Yeah.
But are there some of those, what are some of those things that you would say is like, okay, this is a game or this is a television show or a piece of medium that is not in games currently that has both the writing chops or at least the foundations for a good story that you can see maybe having some good mechanics or good connections to things that you would actually want to play?
That's kind of a hard question because on the one hand, there's always conversations going on at work about some of this stuff.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, but the other part of it is I'm always anxious looking at other media and saying, we should do that.
Yeah,
because I want to kind of make my own thing.
Yeah,
I'm way more excited about finding a new character for myself and being able to occupy them and being able to do something with them, because I then, along with my team, own that character, and we can do whatever we want with them. We can't do what we want with Luke Cage. Marvel's got a very, very particular opinion about what Luke Cage does and how he behaves. Hangar 13, we own Lincoln Clay.
Yeah.
And we know what he does, and we know how he behaves, and, Alex Hernandez, who played him, like, he's got that character down and he owns that character. And like, it's, there's something that feels great about that. There's something about just like having your own. Like, just listen for the call. Listen to the Cards for All team talk about how they have their own and it's theirs. Like, that just made my heart swell. I'm like, I want that, and I want that for everyone here. Like, I want you to be able to have your own thing and not try to depend on other people's stuff.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's like, not easy to do.
Yeah, I'm surprised someone has not tried to make a Soul Train rhythm game yet.
But if only.
But that's what I'm saying, right? Like, there's some of those things that would make smart things. Like, I was talking to somebody about BCFX the other day. If you're not familiar with BCFX, it's the Black College Football Experience game that came out a while ago. And they didn't know about that game. Mm-hmm. And I was like, there are so many cool systems that are in that game that nobody knew about, but were things that got pushed out into other stuff.
Yeah.
Right? What are some of the pain points that you found as a writer just in the industry that have been roadblocks that you've tried to figure out and kind of maneuver around? And what have been some of the strategies you've kind of been able to figure out so that you've been able to get out of those and get over those roadblocks?
You know, I think one of the bigger ones is trying to figure out who you can put in spaces. Like, specifically on M3, like, whenever you have characters in a scene, who cannot just be a white dude?
Yeah.
Who is a person that your main character can be talking with, who can offer a different perspective, who can bring a different point of view to the story that you otherwise would not have? And also just make your city feel like it's a place full of different types of people.
Mm.
And just that's kind of been a consistent thing throughout other projects that I've worked on as well.
Like, yeah.
Just saying, does this have to be this person? Can this be someone else? And then getting that pushback of why, or, well, it doesn't really necessarily make sense here. Well, we're making the thing. It doesn't really matter. We can define what the rules are of this universe.
Yeah.
Like, to use the fantasy genre example, like, people talk about how there are no black people in your historical medieval Europe. Well, there are no dragons either. So let's put that aside, and then let's figure out how to get different types of characters in these spaces and tell different stories with them.
Yeah. Do you think a Black Panthers game would work?
Probably.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because that's the thing I've always wanted. I'm like, that's the thing that I'm like, hey, this would be a cool thing that we could dig into historically and make that into something that would be really interesting.
I think any character who can punch and kick folks would make a really, really rad game mechanically. But just from the perspective of having a character who is sort of dealing explicitly with African blackness.
Yeah.
And their sort of intersection with the diaspora and all that. That would be interesting. I don't know what that story would be.
Yeah.
And I don't know to what extent people would want to swing in there and be brave enough to try to tell a story that is not apolitical, that's not just, I don't know, some dude's going to blow some stuff up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the stuff that I'm hoping for, too, is like, I want to be able to see those stories in those spaces that, you know, we are not even close to touching yet.
Right.
It feels like there are so many spots that we just haven't hit, and that hopefully you'll be able to be one of the folks in those spaces making that magical and definitely needed work.
You're putting a lot of trust in me, man.
You're damn good.
Thank you.
You're damn good.
Thank you.
Everybody, Charles Webb, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you, fam.
It's a pleasure, man.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.